Our scripture lesson this morning is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways that you also once followed when you were living this life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. But Christ is all and is in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. On the way to work, a driver noticed some interesting signs on the SUV in front of him. The cover of the spare tire mounted on the back had the words Texas Longhorns and an orange steer head icon on it. The trailer hitch displayed another steerhead icon and the word Texas. The license plate frame was bordered with the words Longhorns on top and University of Texas at the bottom. But the driver said something didn't quite add up, because the license plate was a Land of Lincoln license plate with a picture of Abraham Lincoln on it. The writer of this account was from Illinois. And the SUV's license plate showed that the driver was too. The writer comments at the conclusion, "I assume the owner of the SUV had moved but had not yet identified with his new home and had no plans of changing loyalties." End quote. Sounds like a Bulldog fan or Bama fan, doesn't it? The night before Jesus was crucified, he prayed for his disciples, and part of the prayer was this: "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but I ask that you protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." We often summarize this statement as saying, Christians are in the world, but not of the world. We live in this world with all of its opportunities and all of its challenges, as do non-Christians. But we operate out of a different mindset from the values of society. Paul told the Colossians, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory." Like the owner of the SUV in the opening illustration, the person in this opening illustration, they live, they work, they pay their taxes, they do everything that goes on with life in Illinois. Legally speaking, they are a resident of Illinois. Their allegiance is with Texas. Their allegiance is with the Longhorns. So it is with us as Christians. Our residence is this world. Our lives are conducted in the same manner as every other resident on this earth. We live, we work, we pay taxes, we raise our families like everybody else. But our allegiance is somewhere else. Our allegiance is that to which is above. Now, I could almost hear somebody say it in critique or responding, John, haven't you and other preachers always said that some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good? Yes, I've said that many a time. And yes, on the face of the statement, such is true. If one is so focused on going to heaven that one fails to recognize the joys that God sends in this life, that statement holds true for them. If one is so focused on going to be with Jesus that one fails to serve Jesus while living here, that statement holds true for them. If one is so focused on how wonderful heaven is going to be that one fails to see the potential for improving people's lives on earth, both spiritually and physically, then yes, that statement holds true for them. But then again, it sounds like Paul was instructing the Colossians and now us to be heavenly minded when he wrote, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not things that are on earth. Now, obviously, Paul is not calling us to be heavenly minded in the sense of what we just said. But Paul is instructing us that the Christian operates from a different mindset than does the world. Paul instructs us to focus on and seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above, that in heaven, which is occupied by Jesus. As the owner of the SUV, our residence is in one place. Our residence is the world. Our allegiance is with another. Our allegiance is with heaven. So the closer we grow to Jesus, the more our minds are focused on things that are above, and the more we pursue the heavenly. The more heavenly minded we become, the less like the world we become. We're residents of the world, but we're not motivated by the same goals. We're residents of the world, but we do not respond to life's up and downs in the same way. Our happiness and our purpose in life are drastically different from the world. The more heavenly minded we become, the less we operate like the world, because our thought process is different. The more heavenly minded we become, the more we think like Jesus, and therefore the more we act like Jesus. Paul goes so far as to say, your life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. Now, all of this sounds pretty good, but as Paul is prone to do, you ever notice when you read Paul? He goes from talking theology to meddling. Ever notice that? He goes from preaching to meddling all the time. But now, I like the way Bible commentators put it, and I think this is the way maybe I'll start using it in my sermons. The commentators say Paul shifts from theology to practical ethics. I have never meddled. I've just been involved in practical ethics. But Paul moves from theology to practical ethics. You remember the second half of the scripture where Paul says, put to death therefore whatever in you is earthly. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways that you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. The call to be heavenly minded is a call to live by a different mindset from the world. Notice what Paul said. Notice Paul's list. It includes attitudes, evil desire and greed. It includes actions, fornication, impurity, passion. It includes speech, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language. Now let me urge you, don't get caught up in the specific offenses that are listed. Because it's easy to look at this specific list and say, I don't fornicate, I don't lie, I don't do this, I don't do that, so I can skip over this one because it doesn't apply to me. Don't do that. It's easy to do that, but don't do that. Look at the point. Note that we are instructed that a heavenly mindset addresses all areas of life. The heavenly mindset includes our attitudes, how I think. I don't think like the world, I think like heaven. I don't talk like the world, I talk like heaven. I don't do the same things as the world. I do the things of heaven. The heavenly mindset covers every single aspect of our life. And thus our calling is a high calling and a challenging calling. For we have a completely different approach to life, even though we're residents of this world. Now, obviously, left to our own strength and determination, am I the only one in this room that feels like it's pretty much impossible? But notice two important phrases. Your life is hidden in Christ. And the second, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. I read of a practice that I had never heard of, but according to this author, if you go anywhere there where there are a lot of sheep, sooner or later, they say you'll find a little lamb running around the field with what looks like an extra fleece tied to its back. And according to this author, he says they make this fleece so that basically what it is some clothing for the sheep. They cut little holes in the fleece for its legs and a hole for its head. And they say that when you see one running around like that, what that means is its mother has died. And according to the article, without the protection and nourishment of the mother, of course, the orphan lamb will die. And if you try to introduce the orphan lamb to another mother, the mother is going to butt it away because it's not hers. She won't recognize the lamb's scent, and she'll know it's not one of her own. But according to the article, again, most flocks are large enough that you've had a mother lose a baby, or you've had, and anyway, both ways. Both ways. I'm getting mixed up, but you know where I'm trying to go. That has happened both ways. And so what will happen is the orphan lamb will have the skin of the deceased lamb put on and taken to the mother of the deceased lamb. She smells the fleece of her own. And smelling the fleece of her own, she accepts the baby. I am so glad that when Jesus looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. I'm so glad that when Jesus looks at me, he doesn't see all those times I've thought like the world. I'm glad when Jesus looks at me, he doesn't see all those times that I've run my mouth like the world. I'm glad when Jesus sees me, he doesn't see all those times I've acted like the world. But because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. And I'm confident you are all believers that the blood of Jesus covers you. And so when the Father looks upon us, he doesn't see the sinful person that I know that I am. He doesn't see the person that's more of this world than of heaven that I know that I am. He sees the blood of his son. And he accepts me because of the blood of his son. As we daily surrender more and more of our hearts and minds to the Christ whose blood covers us, we become more and more like Jesus. Again, when you look in the mirror, I don't think you'll see Jesus in yourself. I really don't. Not if you're humble in the sense that Jesus calls us to. I believe when you look in the mirror, you're still going to see who you are. You're going to see your flaws. You're going to see your warts. You're going to see your shortcomings. You're going to see your sins. But as you come closer and closer to Jesus, people who meet you will know there's something different about you than there is about most people they meet. Even when they complain, they don't complain in the same way. And we grow to the place where we can say, as Paul once said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And the more Christ lives in us, the more our lives are hidden in Christ, and thus the more our mindset becomes that of Jesus, the things that are above. And guess what? If we're heavenly minded in the sense that God, that Paul calls us, we are so heavenly minded that we make the world a better place. We are so heavenly minded that we are motivated to be Christ to the world. So we are residents of this world. Until the day the Lord calls us home, we are residents of this planet. But our allegiance is to Christ, to the things that are above. And thus, if we are truly heavenly minded, Jesus will use us to make this world a better place. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, I think most of us in this room want to be heavenly minded. We want to be Christ-like. We want to think like Jesus. We want to act like Jesus. We desire to speak like Jesus. But Lord, we do have that conflict that being residents of this world, so many times we adopt the ways of the world instead of the ways of heaven. Lord, help us to be like the owner of the SUV. Help us to maintain our residence in this world as long as you give us breath and give us life. Help us to carry on our business. Help us to be the best contributors we can be to this world. But Lord, help us to keep our allegiance to you. And thus, as we give our best to the world, we're bringing a little bit of heaven to this place. So Lord, help us to be heavenly minded, residents of the world, but our allegiance to heaven. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.